It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Te Marie, I'm good. I'm just basking in the sun coming in my office window, but thinking the sun is beautiful and people are enjoying the summer, but God, I wish it would rain.
Yes, it's probably the first thing we should talk about this morning. It is a long, dry, hot summer in Auckland City, and it's not looking like we're going to get a lot of rain in the near future. So what does this mean for our water levels, Phil?
Well, clearly it puts pressure on us. The first 6 months of last year, for example, were the driest 6 months ever in the history of the city. And then we got a downpour in September, October, which gave us more rain in 6 weeks than we had in the 6 months. But over the summer, it's dried up again. I think we had 10% of the average rainfall in January. And that means that because it's so hot, we're also consuming record levels mm-hmm. of water. I think on the 4th of February, that was just a couple of days before Waitangi Day, we consumed 561 million litres in a day. That's compared to an average of about 440 million litres. And the people that are being most affected are people who are reliant on tank water in the countryside. Mm-hmm. I'm in that category, but I'm fortunate that I've got a lot of water storage there, and we've managed it pretty carefully. But really worried about, you know, some of the stories about people that, you know, they can't take showers, they can't flush toilets, etc. Mm. We've brought in a measure for drinking water in some of those areas where we're providing free sufficient drinking water for people. You know, I think it's up to 20 litres a day. And the private sector are the contractors that provide water to fill up tanks with water mm-hmm. tankers. Now, in a couple of areas, they couldn't go to their local filling station because of the water levels in the reservoirs in those towns, I think Wellsford and Helensville, because you've got to keep your water level above 50% in order for firefighting purposes. Mm-hmm. They're all open at the moment. So those that were closed temporarily reopened because it's safe to do so. But the contractors are having trouble keeping up with the demand. And I'm asking Watercare and Healthy Waters to have a look at that. But from the viewpoint of most of the people listening today, no water restrictions yet. We're 72% full. We're normally 83% full. But very sensibly, we've been pumping flat out from the Waikato right since mid-last year. And we're using other water supplies like the Onehunga aquifer. But look, I'd have to say to anybody out there, as a matter of common sense, that we should be precautionary. Mm-hmm. We should be trying to cut down the level of water that we're using. I think what they advocate is a 4-minute shower instead of an 8-minute shower, and that saves about 80 million litres a day, I think. It's phenomenal. Now, if you're like me, you don't like 4-minute showers.
I was going to say, Tess just gave me a really horrified look then.
You know, but sometimes instead of daydreaming in the shower, maybe we should just get on and do the job. So, look, if people can be sensible about trying to limit the amount of water, and I know that's hard, and particularly with gardens looking parched, mm-hmm. some of my trees are more stressed than I've ever seen them before. No reason to panic at the moment.
But sensible is probably a good thing.
Please be sensible. And if things continue like this, and I just see no rain on the horizon, you know, for the next 10-day period, and that's alarming to me. Mm. My place is drier than I've ever seen it before, you know, and we've been there a long time. Just be careful with water, and if we need to move on restrictions, then, you know, using hoses and things like that, then we'll move to that stage. But so far, so good. We've been reasonably resilient. We've done better than some of the other towns around, like Hamilton and Whangarei and Napier Hastings.
What's our long-term plan, Phil? Because this is not necessarily going to be the first and last dry summer we have. You know, we've got a really rapidly changing climate here. Do we have a long-term plan for dealing with water shortages in the next sort of 10, 20 years' time?
Yeah. Because with our population growth, we're using 100 million litres a day more than we used to. We have to look at how we can ensure long-term resilience for water supply. There isn't great scope for building new storage lakes. We've got lakes in the Waitakere's and most particularly in the Hunua's. We have got the potential and we've got a resource consent application in to increase the take from the Waikato. Now, the Waikato is not the cleanest river in the world, but by the time we've processed the water, it's 100% safe and clean. And here's something that will horrify some of the listeners. If you look at cities around the world, what they tend to do is they tend to recycle their wastewater. And everybody immediately says, yuck. but the truth of the matter is the water that we pump into the Manukau now from the Mangere wastewater treatment statement is almost drinkable. Actually, you can see that when you go through the wastewater plant there. We've got native fish swimming in fish tanks with glass sides so you can see them, with water that is the outtake for the sewage plant. And with a bit of extra treatment, that could be brought up to 100% safe, clean and healthy water. The only barrier in the way of that is the kind of psychological and maybe the cultural barrier to doing that. But if you look at a place like Singapore, that's where they get most of their water from. And we've got to start that conversation. We're not at the point where we're doing that yet. But
it's something to think about.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm on tank water at the moment, you know, sometimes it's not the greatest water when you pull a dead opossum out of the spouting. You think, oh my God,
we're going to have to get used to some different systems.
We're going to have to do it differently. But you know, water is the most fundamental thing necessary for human life, and that gets priority.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a couple of other topics. We've got two more to get through briefly this morning. We haven't actually spoken to you about coronavirus yet, so let's maybe start with that. But we also want to get on to Auckland Council's targeted rate for accommodation providers, just a little bit about what that is. But I was intrigued to see that the Lantern Festival was cancelled this year for the first time that it's ever been cancelled in Auckland City. What prompted this?
Yeah, real shame, actually. It wasn't because actually of a fear of the spread of coronavirus. I talked to the regional medical officer of health and he said, no, that would not, you don't have grounds, you wouldn't have grounds to cancel it on that basis. It was really in response to a request from the Chinese community. And the Chinese community fundamentally said, look, we don't feel that it's right to be celebrating the Lantern Festival when these things are happening back in our country of origin. And, you know, if you look at coronavirus now, the figure's risen to over 900 dead, more than in the SARS epidemic, all but two of those people in China. So it is, to a significant extent, being contained there. We haven't had it yet in New Zealand. It would be surprising if we don't get it in New Zealand. I would predict that probably we'll get one or two cases. But I'm keeping in almost daily contact with our health authorities, and they say, at the moment, no cases. In the future, probably some cases, but we are really confident that we can deal with that properly using isolation techniques, quarantine, and we do not expect to see an epidemic spread of the disease in New Zealand. Now, that's good, that's reassuring, but we still need to be careful. But important to note that the Lantern Festival was because of the feelings of the Chinese community. They said, look, we're not going to get many Chinese people that will turn up at this festival because we just don't feel that it's appropriate. And can I just put in a special plea? I'm just getting some terrible stories from Chinese friends who say that, you know, they are feeling in a way that they've never felt before, shunned by people because somehow there's this myth that if you're Chinese that you're likely to be transmitting a disease. And I've heard some awful cases of prejudice. And just to ask people just to be decent and reasonable, there's no reason why that you should treat a member of our community who happens to be Chinese different from anyone else in the community.
How would you suggest people combat some of the incredibly prevalent racism that we're seeing at the moment?
Well, I think it's something that we all have to do. I mean, I was talking to a friend last night, and he's a third-generation Chinese person. He said he went into a restaurant with his wife and a few friends the other day, and kind of everybody looked up and then sort of shuffled away. And that's just crazy. Don't do it. It's not necessary to do that. We are not in a situation where we have to keep 1 meter away from other people because there's a risk of spreading of the disease. You know, a person of Chinese descent living in New Zealand is no more likely to be spreading coronavirus than anybody else. So it's just, you know, I know that one of the biggest the first problem that you get with a disease like this is fear, and people are fearful, mm-hmm. But they should be reassured that, you know, it isn't in New Zealand at the moment, and if and when it comes to New Zealand, we will contain it. But you don't have to behave differently towards people that you think might be Chinese. They are no more of a risk to you than anyone else.
And probably, more importantly, you shouldn't either.
You shouldn't. That's... I mean, you know, for God's sake, everybody's a human being. Treat them decently.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about, really briefly, our last topic for this morning, Auckland Council's targeted rate for accommodation providers. Could you just briefly explain what this is? It's been in the courts, or rather it's been thrown out of the courts, case against it. But could you explain what that actually is in the first instance?
This was something I brought in 2017. We have an organisation called ATED, Auckland Tourism Events and Economic Development. They hold major events that bring tens and tens of thousands of people and bed night accommodation to Auckland. They promote Auckland as a tourist destination. And previously, their activities were paid exclusively out of the funds provided by general ratepayers. Now, we know that the accommodation industry is a huge beneficiary of this, mm-hmm. and so I brought in a program where they, with an accommodation provider targeted rate, they meet about half of the cost of running those events and attracting people into Auckland, and in turn they generally pass that on to the consumer. Now, they thought that the general ratepayer should subsidise them. They get the direct benefit. All of us get a general benefit from, you know, having these events and attracting tourism and creating jobs. And just a few of them, just a handful of the big hotel chains predominantly took this to the court, and the judge threw it out. The judge's judgment was beautiful to read. He said that what we'd done was reasonable. He said we had followed all of our statutory decision-making and consultation obligations. He threw out every ground for removing the rate and upheld the what the council had done as being right and proper. And I hope that those small number of individuals, having cost the city well over $1 million in legal fees, and we may be chasing costs against those individuals, just settle down now and say, hey, whenever there's an event, you mm-hmm. know, whether it's Elton John or whatever, we all know that the hotel rates double in the, mm-hmm. the central city. You guys do really well out of it. You contribute your share of the costs. And I think most Aucklanders would agree with me on that. But not all Aucklanders do, and not all councillors do. But if we'd lost that, the $14 million dollars that it brings in, we would either have stopped promoting some of those events mm-hmm. and marketing Auckland, or we would have had to have put it back as a 1% rate increase on all Aucklanders. Phil, and I wasn't prepared to do either of those things.
Well, that might be all we've got time for this morning, Phil, but thank you so much for chatting to us again.
Hey, good to talk to you, and hope you had a good break last week.
I had a nice break. Read lots of books. It was lovely.
Good on you.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay,
we'll
Rachel.
Speak to you again next week. Cheers.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff. It's